Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I'd like to read 1 through 11. I'd like to generally make some comments, and then I have, I'm going to be dealing with two portions of the axioms that are in there. And one is, number one is born, there's a time to be born, and there's a time to die, and there's a time to plant, and a time, I'll use the term to reap, but it says to pick up, you know, to pluck up that which is planted. So if you would, let's read along together here. So, and I'll emphasize certain words, right? To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? That's a question. I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their hearts, so that no man can find out the work of God maketh from the beginning to the end. If you would, pray with me. Heavenly Father, as we exercise our stuff in the Word of God, I pray, Father, that these few points that we make tonight, that you would be honored and glorified, we would be challenged, and Lord God, that we would continue to think about time and that the uniqueness of it. So I do pray that you would be honored and glorified. Amen. Now, anything that I say tonight, I'll use a disclaimer. I'm not here to try to make you feel bad. That is not my purpose. I'm not trying to pick on anybody or anything like that. But yet, if something is said where the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to just work in your heart, it would be, I would encourage you to listen, okay? It's a unique thing that we have. It's called time. Did you know before the creation, when everything was eternal, there's no time? Time is not a relative. God created, when he created the heavens, it was to show the seasons and the time and things like that. And then one day, at the end of all of this, time is not going to be relative again. You're not going to worry, oh, we've been with the Lord 10,000 years, right? No, because it's not going to matter because it's eternal, right? It goes on forever. And so, what we have here is God creating even and instituting this thing that we call time. And it's a beautiful thing that we have so much time. And then yet the scripture says in some ways it's described as compared to eternity, it's just a what? A vapor, right? You know, it's just like that, right? And how many of you have been married? You've been married for a long time. Oh, you think of it as a long time. No, actually, it just goes by, right? Because as we think about different things, and as Ten and I were talking and everything, this June, it'll be 47 years that we've been married. And they just went like that. It was so much fun. Now, the first 10 years were a little rough. But after that, it went pretty good, right? Tana would probably describe it a little bit differently, but it really did. Time goes by. And so let's look at our scripture here. It says, for everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Now, the two words season and time are pretty close in meaning, yet one is... And the season is like an appointed time or a fitting time. The season is a fitting time to get something done, okay? And then when it says, and a time for everything under the sun, that's the actual action of it to accomplish it, Okay, so there is a time for this and a time for that. And the event itself. And every purpose, the word purpose there, because I want you, it's what we delight in. Okay, or that that one takes delight in. So it's every purpose. Now, of course, we're hearing this from the Lord, and he's trying to get us to delight in the things that he would, that he delights in. So for everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. There is a time to be born. And how many of you had anything to do with the time that you were born? Did the doctor say, well, when are you coming? And, you know, no, it was out of your control. Believe me. I'm so thankful. No, you requested to be born at a certain time. Huh? And so you don't have, but there is a time to be born. And each one of you, have you been born? Everybody here has been born? You've been born? William?
I think so.
Yeah, you think so? Okay. Yeah, you made it. Okay, you're still here. That's good. And so when I was looking up born and the time to die, I started looking up the mortality tables for Canada, for BC. And I was going to, honestly, I was going to try to give you some information about this. Have you ever tried to read StatCan's statistics? I got lost, honestly, because when I added up the numbers, it didn't compute, right? You know, there was over 100%. And you know, you can only get to 100% of the people, right? You know, and I just couldn't, it was confusing to me, to say the least. But I have to say that there's an infant mortality rate, and this is something that we need to pray for, in BC that is surprisingly high to me when you take per thousand of births and everything like that, and especially the further north you go. And so that did show me that, and it took me back a little bit, but there was a time to be born. Now, each one of us have been born, and God had a purpose for us to be born, right? Did you know that? He has a plan for your life. He really does. And a lot of times people forget that. But there's this born and a time to what? Okay. Now, I won't have anybody raise hands, but there's a lot of people that don't like this dying stuff. Okay. It's a little bit unknown, right? But there is a time to die. It is appointed unto man what? Wants to die, and after this, the judgment, right? And it's appointed. The word appointed there does seem to indicate that, well, this is it, you know, you know. And there's not too much you can do unless you beg God. A king did that and gained himself, was it 10 years? 15? 15, yeah, you know, maybe. But who wants to be 100? I'll have to say, I'd rather be with the Lord. Maybe I shouldn't say that, huh? I don't know. but there's this purpose for every purpose, what we delight in, everything. And so I'm just going to build this up, and then I'll get to the points. Okay, I got to sort of you know, work around, and then we'll get to my point. Okay, verse 10. I have seen the travail which God hath given the sons of men to be exercised in it. And your life is an exercise. You are being exercised right now. Before you, even the lost people are being exercised, they're being tried, they are being really challenged in many, many ways, what direction their life is going to go in, whether they're going to follow God, whether they're going to not follow God. And we as born-again believers, we are being exercised to know the season that we're in and the times that we have to do what needs to be done, because there is a season and a time. And so we go on to there. And I'd like to just say this. In verse 11, it says this. He hath made everything beautiful in what? Whose time? His time. He has also, and then it says about setting the world. But he has made everything beautiful in the right time. In the right season, it can be beautiful. One of my challenges, though, to you, and the point that I'd like to make, is a lot of times people don't recognize what season that they're in and what is supposed to be accomplished in time during that season. And we do go through different seasons, even a natural progression. He's got this, born and die. And what's in between there? What do we call that in between? Life, right? It's life. But it's all not equal, is it? When you first get born and then you're until about 6 or 7 years old, maybe in this generation to 20, no. 6 or 7 years old, you're in a make-believe world, right? You know, things, you really think you could fly. I did. Didn't you think you could fly when you were young? I used to dream that I could fly, man. It doesn't work out well, though, when you jump. And the whole thing, you know, you're in this make-believe world, right? And then after that, there's this time, and it goes until you get to pre-puberty, right? You're in this realization in life, and things are becoming alive, and you're starting to understand things, and then puberty hits, and you go brain dead for about 3 years. And then after that, right? And then after that, when things settle down, when you're 15, 16, not very settled, but until about 21, 22, young men, it takes your brain, 21, 22, until your frontal lobes are fully developed. And that's the decision-making capability. That's why when guys get on these motorcycles and they're doing 120 miles an hour or 160 clicks and they try to make a corner and they end up there, you look at their age and you're going to find that their judgment is affected. So never give them a motorcycle. I'll tell you what my dad told me. I wanted a motorcycle when I was young. My father drove motorcycles and stuff. And he said, not as long as I live will you get on a motorcycle. I said, okay. He said, and he told me why. He said all of his friends, you know, ended up hurting themselves. They weren't thinking very clearly. And then you have, you get to be 21, 22. All of a sudden you're starting to, ladies are thinking right. Men, it's about age 30. And then, well, isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, guys. Really, when did you start thinking? When did you start thinking somewhat clearly? It wasn't 21. For most of us, there are Timothys in this world. But most of us aren't him. Most of us, it takes us a little time. And you said what age?
40.
Okay. That would be okay.
We're late bloomers.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I guess, and you have your strength, right? 21 to, now, if I would say to the pastor, because how old are you now, Pastor?
51.
You're 51, right? If I would say that your strength is like from 22 to 50, you might want to say it's back into the 45 or something like that. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think that's, but you've got your strength, right? I mean, physical endurance, mental endurance, emotional endurance, all that. And then as you, you know, as things go down, you know, as age starts to set in, you aren't as physically capable. You might not be able to handle stress as well as you used to have. Your memory starts to slip. You can't find your song in your songbooks anymore. You know, things like this. It just, these kind of things, you need trifocals. Oh, his glasses aren't there. No wonder he couldn't see. There's a glass missing out of his glasses. Yeah, that'll make a difference. Yeah, it really will. All right. Those kind of things start to happen. But those are like natural seasons of your life. And what I'm trying to get to here during this thing, there's a natural progression. And I believe that God has, if you recognize what season of life you're in, and then you expressly act in the time that He wants you to, it'll be beautiful. But if you try to circumvent that, I'll give you an example. See, I mentioned that young men, they start to think when they're 22 years old and so like that, and then they get married and everything, and then they're supposed to be thinking properly and, you know, have ABC all in line and stick all that. But if they still want to be children, they are behaving out of their natural progression or their season. That this season that we have is supposed to be, by God's design, that you are in your strength, that you are married, that, you know, unless you have the gift of being single, but you that you marry, that you have children, that you raise children in that time period. But if the young man wants to still be a child or a teenager, he's out of his season and he will not fulfill the obligations and the responsibilities that he has in his season of time. Now you're getting to my point here? You understand what I'm trying to say? See, you can't be, if you're supposed to be here in your season, recognizing where you are in life and everything, and fulfilling God's will in that time, then your seasons are mixed up and things aren't getting accomplished as they should be. Your obedience to the Word of God is near impossible because you're out of season and you can't fulfill the times as they are and you want. It even happens as we age. A lot of times when we age and after that, if we still act like we're in our strength, right? Have you ever known people that they act like they're in their strength and then they hurt themselves and they, you know, and, oh, Brother Venturini, your wife is going, she's going like this. Does that mean something? Oh, okay. I just was wondering. And yet, you know, but it can get misdirected is what I'm saying. See, as to be a child, when you're a child, is good. To be a young person, or a young man, we'll call it, when you're a young man, is great. And you're supposed to serve God in your youth, are you not? Doesn't it say to serve the Lord, remember the Lord in your youth? And it does, and it tells us that. And then each stage, you are in a season of your life serving the Lord. And if you understand that, then you can serve him properly in the times, and it can be a very beautiful thing. James 4, 13 and 14, we've alluded to it, but would somebody would like to go there and just read that for me, please? James 4, 13 and 14. Who's first? Go for it.
Don't you know, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain? Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, or what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away.
Okay. I'm trying to get you to think about something about where you are in your life and what stage of life that you're in. And what God is expecting of you in that season of your life. See, because if you're in the season of life that you have children at home and different things, then the responsibilities, well, I'm jumping ahead. If you die, what do you leave behind? Huh? What'd you say?
Everything.
You leave everything behind, right? Yeah, you do. You leave everything behind. But there is all that is tangible. But there is many things that you leave behind that are intangible. You know, everybody says you can't take it with you. Yes, that's true. But you do leave behind many, many things. You leave behind your natural children, right? You do. And your grandchildren. You leave those behind. And you leave behind those that you led to the Lord, those that you ministered to, those that you were servant unto. You're Christ-like. You leave behind your witness that people will remember you. And when they even think about you, that you leave that behind. And my challenge to you leave behind, let me see here. I even put, if the Lord would give me the age, I would like to see, I've seen my great-grandchild, right? And I have seen her. And I'd like to see her children. I'd like to see my great-grandchildren. I want to be like Job to four generations that he saw his thing. That's when I read Job, since the first time I read Job, I've asked the Lord, I said, that would be so nice to be able to see four different generations in the Lord, right? It would be so great. And the Christ-like, and also though, you can also leave behind a negative side. You can leave behind the thoughts that aren't there. And so your spiritual children, those that you have planted in 1 Corinthians 3, and you can leave behind some planted, some watered, but you leave behind your influence on those children. Now, each step of your life, you are influencing people. You're in the season of living, and you fathers, right? You fathers now, and you ones that have children at home, your mothers and fathers that have children at home, you have now a season to influence your children for the Lord Jesus Christ. You are not going to have that influence all the time. Not as powerfully as you do when they are at home and they're young. You can really help them in the way that they turn out. Now, do they have a free will? Yes, they do have a free will. But you can have a very positive influence in them. See, during this season between born and dying and everything, and in your strength, you got to understand that God would have you. How many of you are married? Okay, very... got a couple, right? Well, actually, the single people, their responsibilities before the Lord are quite different in their season than married people. Married people, it's added unto. When you're married, when you're a father, when you're a mother, then scripturally, it adds a lot of direct challenges and commands to us as parents what we're supposed to be doing for our children. Does it not? And if that's the season you're in, and if you work for the Lord in that time, it will be a very beautiful outcome. But my challenge to you, and my warning also is that day ends. When a lot of your influence is, when they leave home, when they're going down there, that your influence is minimized. And so I want to encourage you to serve the Lord and follow after in the season that you are now. Because your children are going... Did you know most of your children are going to leave you? Did you know that most of your children are going to leave you willingly? Because they want to. Okay? And they are going to go and live life. But you have them now, then use this time to influence them for the Lord Jesus Christ. Then what do you do when your children are all gone? Well, you can whine and cry and miss them all, right? Oh, sorry, you're losing all yours. I don't want to get too close here, right? It is a difficult, they call it what, the empty nest and all this other stuff. Tana and I, we've concluded there is life after children. And it's good, and it's time. You don't act like you don't have children when they're in your house, but when they're gone, it is okay to live life in a different way, because they are now, they're accountable unto themselves. But I want to encourage you to live life in that area that you're there. Brother Venturini, he's the elder spokesman here, right? Now, brother, how old are you now?
80.
You're 80 years old, praise the Lord. And he's 80 years old. And he is in a time, you don't bowl anymore, do you? No, you don't bowl anymore. Yeah, you're not, downhill skiing anymore or anything like that, right? But he is serving the Lord. And so understanding what you're supposed to be doing, influencing people for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's really, Tana and I, we go, what are we going to do? What do, you know, as you age and everything? We still want to be an influence and have an impact in people's life for the Lord. But especially, I haven't neglected my children. I have another child in Spokane, right? His name is Thomas, and he has children. And I'd like to be more of an influence on his life and on his children's life. And so there is a season that we're in, right? And there's this time, and you need to utilize it for the Lord and for his honor and glory. Don't get diverted, okay? It's called male menopause, okay? It's actually called andropause, okay? And it's when men... When they're in their, sorry about this, preacher, when they're in their 50s, they like go a little squirrely, Now, I don't think the pastor's going squirrely, but he's the only one that I know that's 50. Is who else? Anybody else around here 50? Nobody else 50, right? Okay. And he's, you know, and then that's the guy that you see, you know. He has no hair here, but he, all of a sudden he grows a ponytail. And then he gets on his hat and he buys his new fast car that he didn't have when he was a kid.
I'm waiting for that.
Yeah.
My favorite.
And then you go see them, and they're thinking that they're kids again, right? But really, that isn't, they're trying to go into another season. It's misplaced. And when we see people like that, when I see people like that, I go, there's something wrong in this ballpark, right? There's something wrong going on there. As a person, as a grandparent, you need to be thinking about who and what and how you can help people and minister unto them. And not just pastors, all of us are that way. And a lot of you women that are getting aged, the aged women, what does the scripture say that you're supposed to be doing? The aged women are supposed to teach the younger. Does it not? Absolutely. It isn't that you go and hide and cry, you know, or you are to be teaching. And so you can have this influence. But it's your season of life and recognizing it. And it's good. It is beautiful. When you fall into that will of God in the season of life that He wants you to exercise and be exercised in, it's all an exercise. We're being tried. Are we going to seek the Scripture? Are we going to follow the Scripture? Or are we not? Are we going to go and so-called, I go fishing, right? Okay. So there is a time to be born and a time to die. As the scripture says, and all the time and the season in between there. So don't begrudge if your children are with you. We have little ones here. This is the right influence. You need to influence them while they're young. You really do. Because like I said, many teenagers, they check out for 2 or 3 years during that transition time, right? And you weren't you the same way? Now, I don't want to get diverted, but How good did you do between 12 and 15? Was that a turmoil time for any of you? No? Him? Your brother was pointing at you. Yeah, it's a tough thing. It is. There's a lot going on. But you need to serve the Lord in your youth. But there is a time to plant and there is a time to harvest. And there is, when you plant, what do you got to do? How many of you know do a garden? Okay, how many of you, if you had to, could do a garden? Really? Have you ever stuck, now come on, brother, now tell me. Have you ever put a shovel in the ground and turned soil?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, then you know what to do then, right? I mean, hey, now that's how but you were doing it to dig up worms. Yeah, but there is a time to plant and a time to harvest. So turn to 1 Corinthians 3:6, and of course we've alluded to it and we've spoken of it, but we need to just follow the scriptures. And I know this is not foreign to any of you. Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And there is planting, but there's even more. The scripture says that he says that you have to, in our hearts, we have to break up what? The fallow ground, right? The hard ground, that chunky ground. But you have to till ground. You don't throw just seeds anywhere. You have to till it up. You have to, and really what you're doing to the soil is you're aerating it and you're opening it up enough so that it can receive water. And that's what you do when you till the ground. And Jeremiah 4:3, that's what we've talked about there. And 1 Corinthians 3:6-11, as we continue to read. Oh, I turned my page. I'm sorry, I got to go back there. Did everybody else stay there? Okay. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. So what did that just say? The planting and the watering are one unit, right? They're the same in the sense. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, I'm bringing this up in this way because you plant and you water, but it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ and for His glory. When a father nurtures his children in obedience to the Scripture, he is watering the seed. He is planting the seed when he brings them and talks to them about Christ. But he is watering and nurturing that plant that it started to grow. When parents follow the Scripture and in obedience to Christ, they are watering their next generation. And that is why in many times that I want to, and I do, I'm just telling you right now, I want to be an influence on my grandchildren, and I was, but I would like to be more so. I want to be an influence to nurture and to water the following of the Lord Jesus Christ in my great-grandchildren and my grandchildren also. So I want to encourage you to understand what I'm trying to say here about planting and harvesting. There's a duration of time between planting and harvesting. And after you plant, you have to water. They need sunlight, of course. They need watering, which is, you could allude to the Word of God. You can go and do that, but also in my garden, I can't keep up with it very well, but I do some weeding, and there is some tilling that I do around the plant to loosen up the soil during that time. You're trying to nurture the plant so it'll bring forth fruit. And so it isn't overnight that you're harvesting. You have to understand that it's a duration, it's a process. And so though we now, we can use that very illustrated very carefully when we go out and give out the gospel. But how many of you, the first time that you met somebody, like what must I do to be saved? How many times has that happened to you in the last 18 years?
I think one.
Okay. Most of the time, it is that you plant the seed, right? And then you have to water it. And sometimes it's more than one person that has to water. Sometimes it's this watering. And including with your children, to see the harvest in a time of reaping, which is their soul for the Lord Jesus Christ, which is Christ-likeness in their life, you need to understand that you need to be working with this. You need to be laboring with this and don't give up on it. You really don't understand the effect that you're having, not only with your children, but with these children. See, they're, and even the ones that were raised up in the church, right? Because most of these, they weren't even around when you first started here. I mean, how many of you are over 18 years old, right? Of the teens, just Joel, right? Yeah, all the rest, you were added on, right? And so there's this great influence that you have. So there is a time to plant, and there is a time of harvest. And you'll recognize the harvest a lot later than the planting. And my encouragement to you is that you need to be doing this now to recognize and enjoy the harvest later on in your life. There's very few pleasures that satisfy more, at least this soul, than knowing that my children give a confession of faith. I want to see all my grandchildren leave home and still follow after the Lord, because it is a trying when they leave home. You're always a little bit scared. What are they going to do, right? And so Josh is the only one. Straighten up, boy. And, but anyways, no, he's the last one in this one. But I want to encourage you to still work at it, to still plant, to still water your relationships, and then one another in the church. It's all of our responsibility. Remember, in a church context, we are to be edifying one another, encouraging one another, and doing this. And the results sometimes aren't really that noticeable. But in time, there'll be a harvest. And the other good thing is that when you go to see the Lord and he tries your works, it won't be burned in the fire. So there's bad seeds. The enemy tries to go in. When you're planting all this good seed, right? You're planting all this good seed, then there's an enemy that comes around and he wants to plant tares. You got to be very careful with the tares and how you deal with them. But it is. So you water. And Ephesians 5:26, it tells us, it uses that washing, that you're watering by the word of God. It uses that, that it's very powerful, that it's very nurturing. So during the season of your life, when we take it in the church context, right, in the family context, or in a societal context about ministering to people and trying to see souls saved, we give money, we give time, we give talent, we hand out tracts, Bibles, whatever it might be. Are we planting and nurturing and watering so that there will be a harvest with our family? Did you know that if the 120 people that were in the upper room, there's been 50 generations, by the way, since that time, right around there. And if the 120 would have had children, and if they would have had two children, and if we would have doubled that each time, and if you multiply it out 50 times, it adds up to over 8 billion people would have been in the Lord. We do need evangelism. We do. It's absolutely necessary. But the truth of the matter is, I believe that we need to be serious about planting the seeds in our family and amongst those that we love and nurturing the seeds so that they call on Christ and be saved. The reason I tell you that is if that would have happened, every soul in the earth would have already been saved. It adds up to over 8 billion souls in 50 generations. I really believe that a lot of times that we neglect the people that are right around us and that are close to us, our brothers and sisters, our cousins, our relatives that we have an influence on, our neighbors, and trying to, in our season, to minister to them, give them the Word of God, which is quick and powerful, and then watering it, and then waiting for a harvest to come. So not only is it evangelistic in the sense of going and knocking on doors or handing them a tract, but it's a continued influence on a person's life. And during your time, it'll be different ways that you apply that. And if you're wise, see, these young people, they are going to apply this. They need to apply this differently than this man does. What we do, we still want to do it in our season. We want it to be beautiful. But how I do it and how they do it is going to be a little bit different. But we need to have an influence with the people that we love. Where there is a time to be born, there is a time to die. There's seasons in there of life and your strengths and what God has fulfilled. There was a few people that they kept their strength until they were very old, but it's only a few. Most of us, we go through different stages of our physical abilities and our mental abilities. But during that time, are you using it for the Lord? During your season, are you following what the Lord would have you to do? Or are you acting out of season? My friends, if you're a father, if you're a mother, you have a season to have an influence on your children and on their children, and there's great responsibilities that you have before the Lord. Don't miss that season. Youth, don't miss your season. Serve the Lord in your youth. As you're single, serve the Lord. And then after you become an incense burner. That's happened at 60 years old when you became an incense burner. During that season, it is still there. 60. Yeah, that's when they burnt incense, right? They burned it. They ministered differently, but they were still ministering and serving people and watering and trying to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my challenge to you is this. Are you acting and following the Word of God in the season that you're at now? Young people, are you serving the Lord now? That's your season. And He's got times for you to follow after very specifically, to act. When we're in our middle age, wrong term, huh? Anyways, when you have your children about you, are you ministering or are you going off and really you're out of season? You're not following what the Lord would have you to do in that stage or season of your life. And as we age, we don't want to give up. We want to continue serving the Lord in that season and following after His instruction in the Scripture. And that's a time, and if we follow in, we're doing it in that time, it will be a very beautiful thing. Does that make any sense at all? Okay, because it was hard. It was easy to put it up here, but it was hard to get it out here, right? My point that I'm trying to make. Challenge yourself in this. This thing we call time, after it's used, you can't make it back up. You can't. The mistakes that I made, and I acknowledge the mistakes that I made of not serving the Lord in my youth, I cannot make that up. I didn't get saved until I was 31, 32, the debate is there. That I didn't get saved until that time. I can't make that time up. I got to press on from here. I was out of time. I was out of season. So look at your season and serve the Lord while you can, while there is time. For our life is but a vapor. And you can't make it up. I challenge you. Get serious about it, okay? And it's a great thing to see your children and your children's children and then your children's children's children in the Lord. It's a wonderful thing, following God. As you stand, please. I had more. And I'd like to just, I wrote this down. There is a season for all and a time for all. We must know what season it is we are in and exercise ourselves during the right time and be exercised because everything is beautiful in His time. Heavenly Father,